Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour manned mission to nowhere. DA with you for the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Washington to Wisconsin, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How are we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for dropping on by and spending some time with the dot. This is a jam-packed show. Think about this program as an overstuffed football burrito because we are stuffing so much into this Friday episode. We have got Adam Lefko, popular podcast host from Bleacher Report, who will join us coming up here to talk NFL in approximately 35 minutes from now. Always funny, always entertaining. Adam Lefko coming up here on the show later on in the hour. Also, Roddy Jones, ACC Network. He's going to join us ahead of Clemson's huge tilt against Texas A&M this week, and that's in hour number three. I've got my five tastiest games of the college football weekend. I'll count them down and tell you how and when to watch with your tasty top five. We've got Mraz's up the gut picks for the week. His NFL picks, plus his football food of the week.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
It's a Target Demo Friday, so we want to know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at. We'll read through those coming up toward the end of the program. And we've got to break down the Antonio Brown saga and just how ugly it has gotten. All of that is shoved into the next 3 hours, so don't go anywhere. Your phone number is 855 at any of these topics, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS on Twitter. But we begin with last night, where the Bears and the Packers turn back the clocks. 100 years of the NFL, the league's oldest rivalry, and a game in 2019 that looked like it was from 1919. Whew. Rough. Rough watch there. Yet Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest ever to do it, one of the most exciting football players ever, certainly one of the most exciting quarterbacks ever, against a team that went 12-4 last year in a rivalry that every year has another layer of hate, and yet somehow we got a dog of a football game. That was a total snooze fest. If it wasn't week one NFL and you had Packers and Bears on the helmets, that would have been perhaps the worst football game of the NFL weekend. That would have been a 1 o'clock in Jacksonville. That was a brutal watch. Now, I want to give the Bears defense credit because I actually think the Bears defense did a great job hurrying Rodgers, forcing Rodgers into mistakes, and basically collapsing the pocket and making the Packers offense pretty impotent for most of the night. And from a Packers standpoint, I think the Packers have to get out of there, and every Packer fan in the world has to wipe their brow and realize, whew, got away with one. Because in a lot of ways, while that's a, quote, ugly week one win, that's a big win, and here's why. The Packers just got a road victory in the division against a team that was the presumed favorites in the NFC North and did so on a night where Rodgers only had to put up 10 points and the schedule's tough for the first 5 weeks of the season. The next 3 weeks, the Packers get Vikings, Broncos, Eagles, Cowboys. That's their next 4 weeks. Vikings, Broncos, Eagles, Cowboys. So to get out with a road victory in the division when you didn't play well on offense at all, you'll take it. That's a big one. But you can't ignore how awful the Bears' offense was. And some of this is the Packers, and some of this was that the Packers have added some defensive free agents, something that they're so rarely doing in offseasons, actually spending money where they need help, and it paid dividends. But for whatever compliments we want to give the Packers' D, my goodness, was Mitchell Trubisky bad. My goodness. Trubisky had multiple plays that could have broken the game open or at least challenged the Packers' defense. And time after time, he made a mistake, missed his window, missed his read, missed his receiver. Here's the Bears' drives. Note that this was a day-long party all day yesterday in Chicago, all day. And the stadium was juiced and electric. And there was a vibe of, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl in Chicago. Here was Mitchell Trubisky's drives. 7 yards, punt. 16 yards, field goal. Their only points came on a 16-yard drive. 19 yards, punt. 34 yards, punt. 22 yards, punt. 0 yards, punt. Then the half. Second half. 2 yards and punt. 9 yards and punt. They drove 57 yards in a drive, but then turned it over on downs. 38 yards of the punt. 59 yards. They finally got something cooking. They're nearing the red zone, and Trubisky throws the bad interception, corner of the end zone, on a play that had double coverage on it, and then finishes it off with a chance to go down the field and at least tie. Negative 9 yards and the fourth down incompletion. He was a disaster. And I've got a stat for you here, boys and girls, and it's not a pretty one for Chicago Bears fans. Last night, Trubisky threw, I believe, 38 times. Let me double check this. But Mitch Trubisky had to throw more times than obviously they're comfortable with when it comes to the Chicago Bears offense, how they're built, etc. And that is not how you're going to win football games with Chicago. And the problem is that if you cannot win with your quarterback throwing the football, you are at a very precarious position in today's NFL. Last night, Trubisky threw 45 passes. 45. No touchdowns, the bad pick late, only 228. A quarterback rating of 62. 45 attempts. When Mitch Trubisky has 35 pass attempts or more, he's got one win in his career. One. And that came against the Arizona Cardinals last year. The worst team in football. What does that tell you? It tells you that the Bears still can't win when it's on the shoulders of Mitch Trubisky. And he was the number two pick in the draft, in a draft where Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson was drafted after him. In 2019, Bears fans have all of this hope, all of this belief, all of this excitement. But Trubisky has one win in his career when he's thrown the ball 35 times or more. And it came against the worst team of the league last year. Is Trubisky ultimately the Bears' Achilles heel in getting back to a Super Bowl? It is where we begin your cold open.
Third down and 10 of the 16 of Green Bay. Three receivers left, one to the right. Blitz on, snap, Trubisky, under pressure, lofts it over the left side into the end zone.
Intercepted!
Adrian Amos!
Interception!
Amos, a dagger of a play!
I think we just need to do our job, but we just couldn't find a rhythm, and I don't think it's because we didn't play in the preseason, because we were rolling in practice, and it just didn't translate the week of practice we had to the game, and we're going to look at the film and try to find out why and make sure it doesn't happen again.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Well, that was Wayne Larrivee on Packers Radio, and that was also Trubisky after his poor effort yesterday. And you have the Packers defensive backs calling out what Trubisky was going to do late in that game. That's what led to the interception. And saying we just knew as long as we forced Trubisky to play quarterback, we would be fine. Opponents are knowing that if they force Trubisky to make the plays, he can't do it, they'll win. This is a problem. It's a real problem because now going into year number three with a defense that's clearly good enough to carry this team deep into the playoffs with star power on that defense and experience after last year getting to the postseason with a 12-4 record and a home playoff game, there's no excuse for Trubisky to be the reason that this team can't go where it needs to go, but that's where we're sitting at right now. And he needs to grow up fast. And this was the question of him coming out of UNC. He only had 1 year starting. Was he all that sophisticated in reading defenses? Was he ready to take over an NFL franchise? Was he ready to win right away? And can he really grow where a ceiling is Pro Bowl level? Or is he always going to be a work in progress and limited? And right now, the early evidence is he's limited. Last year, the Chicago Bears won 12 games because they created a boatload of turnovers. They had a great defense led by the addition of Khalil Mack. And they won a lot of tight games. And they were able to run the football. Trubisky was good. He didn't have to be great. After last night, I wonder if that's going to happen again this season. That if you ask Trubisky to win you the football games, he's going to implode. That was awful. Absolutely awful. And the Bears lose a divisional home game in a division where it's going to be super tight. I talked about this yesterday. I think the Bears are poised for a regression from last year. And last night only hammered that point home for my thoughts. Here's your phone number after Thursday night's opener, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Locked and loaded on a football Friday. How about this for soundcheck coming up here next? Odell wants sympathy for his injury. Nick Saban's forced to run the treadmill by his wife. And Julio Jones sounds broken up. That's coming up as part of Soundcheck, your best audio of the day next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
They put the glucose in my blood, Damon. Come on. Those cells are there. You know how hard a battle it is? It's uphill all the time.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Yep, that glucose will do it to you. 22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to see you on Sunday Morning Football coming up this weekend for week one of the NFL season. We'll have instantaneous morning reaction to what happens in the Clemson and A&M game as well as the LSU-Texas game. Two huge heavyweight matchups in the college football landscape. So We'll react to those and then also preview week one of the NFL season coming up here on Sunday. Also, Brian Griese is scheduled to join us on Sunday Morning Football. He'll be part of the team that calls the second Monday night game on ESPN. So all of that coming up as part of Sunday Morning Football. Sunday morning beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern time until noon Eastern time, and all of these same CBS Sports Radio stations and all the same places you get the DA show. It's a Target Demo Friday, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. And it's an Ask the Pros Day where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Ignatius tweets, the Bears giving the Niners multiple high picks just to move up one spot to take a quarterback no one else is going to take is an all-time fail.
I am the epic fail.
Even if Trubisky had been taken, you have Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes on the board. Simple madness. Mraz, do you think historically speaking we will look back and say, what the hell were the Bears doing when Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were drafted after Trubisky?
Yes, mainly because I think Mahomes is going to be all-time great kind of player, and I think Deshaun Watson will be very good. I don't necessarily think Trubisky's going to be completely awful. I think he'll be just good enough to make you feel like, all right, we got by. But yes, because Mahomes is going to be so special in particular, I think you will look back and say, what the heck happened?
Out of those three guys, is Trubisky destined for the worst career?
Yes. However, I don't think Trubisky will be, I think we're overreacting a little bit to this. I don't think he'll be awful. If that makes any sense.
Well, he's not awful. He won 12 games last year.
Maybe Trubisky is kind of Matt Hasselbeck. Maybe eventually gets to a Super Bowl with a really good defense, good run game, but ultimately, just kind of a couple times in the playoffs, and your team never gets over the true hump and raises a Lombardi.
Last night, though, is super concerning.
The worst. You can't look that bad, but I am anxious to see how much of that was Matt Nagy just totally misplaying the idea of not playing anybody in the preseason. Because Mitchell Trubisky's still a young quarterback. It's not as if he was 40 years old like Tom Brady and need to save the bullets in the arm. So I still think we'll see a little more from Trubisky, but overall I am not overly impressed, and I think the league catches up to him a bit this year.
The preseason thing is a tough question because you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you play your starters in the preseason, you risk injuries to all of the significant players for your regular season. And I know there's always been risk, but you are now spending so much money. And these guys have so little contact throughout the preseason. Quarterbacks don't get hit from the time their season ends until week one of the NFL season. Nobody gets hit in practice. And you don't play in the preseason. So to throw guys out there in the preseason and risk those injuries when they take up X percentage of your cap, I understand it. I understand you'd prefer to be safe than sorry and come out rusty for week number one of the regular season than risk any injuries in the preseason. I get it. But you get nights like last night where both teams look terribly rusty and the game was awful. And Trubisky definitely could have benefited from four preseason games. Let's face it, that's where he is in his career. And you're just terrified of risking that. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It's time for Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Odell Beckham has been dealing with a hip injury this preseason. He has also not played in any of the preseason games, and Odell fancies himself some type of cross between Kellen Winslow at the Orange Bowl and Michael Jordan during the flu game.
I mean, this is something I've never had to deal with. It's like an extremely fast car with like a little alignment or something up, you know, and it's like right in the center of what you need. Now the car can still go, but it's dangerous, you know what I mean? So it's just something that I've just been trying to figure out in and out of rehab every single day. Never really dealt with anything like that. Confident in me, you know. I played it. I remember one game I didn't practice the entire week. Couldn't run even up to pregame because of a hip pointer and swelling. And then I still went out there and played over in London. Taped it up, went out there and just did what I can to help the team. So I'm confident in me.
Wow, what a gamer. Right, I mean, he really has put it all on the line. He once had a hip pointer and played in the London game. Couldn't practice all week, but he's confident in Odell. Just makes you feel like the Browns really got a gamer there, Mraz, and this is a guy that will lay his heart and body on the line for that team.
Yeah, real quickly, number one, how do you tape up a hip? It's not exactly a wrist or a finger. Number two, what are you, trying to play hero here?
Yes.
I mean, all the attention's on the Browns, so now you have to remind everybody, hey, look what I'm going through and playing through it. Hey, little tip of advice. You know who else was a superstar wide receiver at one point? Plaxico Burress. Didn't practice once during 2007 because feet and ankle injuries. Never once spoke about it or reminded people that that's what he was doing because he didn't need to be patted on the back for being a hero.
Jack Youngblood once played in a football game with a broken leg. Here's Odell going, I had a hip pointer once and I played in the London game, okay?
And stop comparing yourself to a fast car with an alignment issue, too. Get lost. Give me Benny Fowler.
Odell. One long season of Odell loving himself some Odell. And you know if Odell has a bad opening weekend, it's all about the hip. It's because of the hip.
I told you guys, I'm a Ferrari. Alignment issue, it bothered me. Tape-up job didn't work.
Nick Saban got a 15-yard penalty from the refs in his opening weekend win over Duke. And that's against the Saban house rules.
Miss Terry made me run on a treadmill for 20 minutes. the leadership group had a meeting, and they wanted to implement some disciplinary action. But it kind of got overruled. But I'm not proud of it. I really am not.
I'd like to see how that conversation goes between him and Miss Terry, his wife. Nick, treadmill, immediately. Aw, shucks, Miss Terry. Do I really got to go on the treadmill again? Immediately. Oh, how long do I got to be on the treadmill, Miss Terry? 10 minutes. No, 15 minutes. Oh, Miss Terry, can't I just do 8 minutes? That's it. No more lip. 20 minutes on the treadmill.
This is a dangerous rabbit hole that Saban, in control of everything to the point of being mean and condescending at times at the football building, goes home and is a complete submissive to Miss Terry. Just walks in, head down, has to make her dinner, cleans the table. They watch what she wants on TV, that she just runs that whole house.
Are you worried because that means that the rest of us husbands are just going to fall in line with the Sabans?
No, I'm just worried that I'm going to spend too much time thinking that that's the scenario.
Oh, I see.
That Saban somehow gets paid back for all the craziness he inflicts at the top of Alabama by going home and having the tables turned by Miss Terry.
Is it possible it's the other way? His motivation in having everybody disciplined and lashing out at people and being angry is because he's upset that his wife bullies him at the house.
I'll take it.
And finally, Julio Jones is wearing two different cleats yesterday and is not practicing. He's going to play, but he wants a new contract. And Julio just sounds like something's really off here.
I don't know. I mean, like, what I'm trying to do right now is be ready. You know what I mean? Like, it's no, like, if I'm going to play, if I'm not going to play. Like, you know, I'm trying to be out there. Like, regardless, you know, I'm coming back from injury, things like that. But the ultimate thing is just being ready when my number's called.
I'm trying to be out there? I mean, he's playing in week one, right? I mean, this whole thing is not about health. It's just about a contract. And so is Julio Jones holding out? I mean, we've talked about Ezekiel Elliott's holdout all season long and Melvin Gordon's holdout all season long, but should we be talking about Julio Jones' holdout? I mean, we don't assume he's holding out, but he was kind of noticeably forlorn yesterday at practice. He's wearing two different cleats. He's talking about he's just going to try to be ready. He's going to try to be ready, going to try to play, but he's not injured. I like Julio a lot, and I think that the Falcons have to find a way to pay him because they have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL, and it would be a sin to quibble over a couple million bucks when you own Home Depot. You know, you got a couple of million bucks, I'm sure. You sell a few more pipes, two more toilets, and you can give Julio Jones the money that he needs. But the Falcons have this window to win and win big. You can't screw around with the most talented player you have on the roster. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll jump into your phone calls on a Target Demo Friday. We're talking about last night's Packers and Bears game. Woof central when it comes to the offense. Big win by the Packers, getting a road victory in the division against the favorites on a night where Aaron Rodgers didn't have to be all that great. What does it mean about Mitchell Trubisky? Also, throughout the morning, we'll talk about Antonio Brown, the college football weekend as well, and much more. We've also got Adam Lefko joining us coming up straight ahead. He's a very popular podcast host for Bleacher Report and television host as well. We'll talk to Lefko coming up here about his brand new endeavor, Ditch the Playbook, and we'll talk to him about last night's Packers and Bears game and jump into your phone calls next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Good morning to you, the legendary DA. I made it to the big time.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We all did. Welcome inside the big time.
Okay, how long you been on the air, DA?
41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Watch the show, won't you? Go to watchda.com. That's available on any device, anywhere. You could be on your phone. You could be on your tablet. Be on the laptop, maybe even the smart TV. Pop us on the big screen. WatchDA.com for free. Now, our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. Adam Lefko is scheduled now to join us at the top of the hour. Had to be pushed back because of his reps, and so we will have him coming up here at the top of the hour. I think it's a worthy question whether Antonio Brown plays football again. Not football for the Raiders, but football again. Very clearly, AB is executing a self-destructive game plan here. And in lashing out publicly at Mike Mayock on his Instagram,
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
At then getting into a verbal argument with him at practice yesterday in front of everybody, threatening to punch him in the face, having to be separated by other players, and then immediately being suspended, Antonio Brown is even more destructive, self-destructive than he was last year or previous years in Pittsburgh. AB has not played one football game for the Raiders, and he's already threatening to punch the GM. Number one, Mike Mayock probably right now wants to go back to assessing, you know, fifth-round offensive linemen on TV. It's a little more stress-free. Number two, oh, sure, now Antonio Brown doesn't want to Facebook live stream everything. You know, it'd be way more interesting if AEB was Facebook living him fighting the general manager, being hauled away by Vontaze Burfict. Now this is what I want to watch. Not your post-game Q&A after a playoff game in the locker room, AEB. But look, it's beyond whether he'll play for the Raiders. Maybe he plays for the Raiders, maybe not. If he's on the active roster for week one, then suddenly the Raiders have to pay him. So they might suspend him for week number one and then try to get out of all of the money that they've spent on him, the $30 million guaranteed. The question is whether AB ever plays football again, and not because a team might not take a chance on him, or that every other team would be scared off, because I don't think that's actually the reality. I think a team like the Patriots brings in AB and kicks the tires on him, and like Josh Gordon before him, and Randy Moss before him and other problem children they have brought in. They give you an incentive-laden deal, no real money, and sell you on winning, rehabilitating your image, having Tom Brady throw to you, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's in play. I think a team would bring him in to kick the tires on him to see just how much of a mental case he is. But here's why I think Antonio Brown might not play football ever again. He might not want to. I mean, think about the situation that he has right now. Antonio Brown wanted out of Pittsburgh for whatever reason. Was it because Ben Roethlisberger was critical? Was it because they put Big Ben on a pedestal? Was it because he wanted more money? I always thought the biggest reason was AB wanted more cash and that he would shoot his way out of Pittsburgh by any means necessary, force a trade to a team that would pay him. And that's exactly what happened. The Raiders tore up his contract with the Steelers and immediately gave him $30 million guaranteed. I've always thought that that was the end game for Antonio Brown, knowing he had one last big contract in him, shoot his way out of town right now, get the contract, and then coast. But AB is now running the risk of not getting paid the money that he signed for with the Raiders. I mean, the smarter play for AB would have been remaining active for week number one, getting all the cash, and then shooting his way out of town or doing whatever that he wants or faking an injury or whatever. I can't play because of the helmet. All of this nonsense in week two. At least he would have gotten paid. He's still not getting paid yet. He's got to play in an actual football game. AB is destructive. AB is egomaniacal. AB is combative. But AB is not right mentally. It's very clear. And I actually think we kind of got to be careful calling him names and calling him a clown or a bozo. And I know I've done it, but you really got to start wondering if he's got severe mental illness. I mean, you have to, because Antonio Brown has hypothetically gotten everything that he's wanted these last 6 months. He wanted out of Pittsburgh. He wanted a team to give him a new contract. He wanted a coach that would defend him. He's gotten all of that. He's gotten everything that he hypothetically wanted, and he's still unhappy and destroying his life around him. Because, like, what's next for Antonio Brown? Is it forcing his way out to a winner? Let's just say he looks around the Raiders and says, you know what? This place is stupid. They don't know how to win. Gruden's a clown. I don't want to be here. I want to go to a winner. Okay, well, then you've, by this behavior, you have stripped away plenty of potential opportunities, because let's say there are six winners in the NFL that AB wants to go to. Probably four of them go, no thanks, we're good. So you've taken away the potential destinations to one or two maybe, and they'll never give you the money that the Raiders are giving you right now. So now you have decided to blow up your spot in Oakland for less money and less opportunity. None of this makes any logical sense. One theory that's been floated is that his feet are so messed up from being burned off in cryotherapy that he can't play. He can't play the way that he used to, and that he's trying every trick in the book to distract everybody about that. Oh, it's my helmet. Oh, it's Mike Mayock. I'm going to throw a tantrum. Even that would be reason to question where his mental health is at. Because Antonio Brown could say exactly that. My feet are still messed up. I'm not right yet. And when I get right, I'm going to come back and I'm going to ball. But he's not even doing that. We are certainly at the point where we have to wonder just how, boy, I want to say sane or reasonable, but he's not sane nor reasonable. I wonder if Antonio Brown's the type of guy that is such a chaotic mental mess. He is out of the NFL. And 10 years later, we see him doing all types of crazy, weird, O.J. Simpson-esque celebrity boxing IG for some cheap gambling website type of promotion. Not the killing of the wife thing, but more along the lines of, oh my God, he really went off the deep end mentally, and now he's kind of a punching bag and pathetic. Because this latest thing now stops making any sense. He got everything that he wanted. Everything. And now he's going to sacrifice that. I mean, even Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, is trying to play patch it up right now because he knows the money that's on the line. Rosenhaus is saying it's salvageable. Never say never. It's not over. Because Rosenhaus realizes the payday is here, AB. You just got to be active for week one. That's the only way you don't get paid. The only way you don't get all of the money you wanted is if you're not active week one. And now you're risking that. For what? There is not only a possibility he doesn't play for the Raiders ever again. There's a possibility he does not play football ever again because maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe he can't. Maybe that hit from Vontaze Burfict, ironically, that concussed him in the playoffs and laid him out a couple of years ago was something that triggered really crazy behavior. But we're now at the point where none of this really makes sense. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Melvin's in Alabama, listening on radio.com to the DA show. Good morning, Mel.
What's happening? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Everything's well, man. I love your show, man. Listen all the time. You're doing a great job, man.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. But I'm a diehard Steelers fan, man. And AB, since I'm 27, AB is the best Steeler I have seen in that jersey. But like my uncle, Mr. Omega Sci-Fi himself said, I mean, AB is going to, we're going to get the last laugh because once it's time for the Hall of Fame, I mean, no one's going to, he's done an amazing job at the Steelers. When it comes back to, hey, when you go back home to your team, like you see some of these guys making draft picks, Joe's going to be on him. I mean, because now he's ruined his reputation with the Steelers. The Steelers fans hate him. I'm one of the few that love him because I see what he did in our jersey. But everybody else, they hate him, man. He's not going to be able to come. And that's when it's really going to hit him a little bit down the road. And I got another thing, some question for you, man. How do you feel about the NFL every year? I mean, it sucked not watching Bell last year. It's going to suck. I'm a fan of the whole game. It's going to suck not watching Andrew Luck. It almost sucked by not seeing Tyreek Hill. I mean, the NFL is, you can go down the line. Adrian Peterson will almost, you know what I'm saying?
Mel, there's always going to be players that people want to watch. I don't think we'll ever get to the point where people say, oh, there's not enough players that I care about in the NFL. But what we're going to have in the ensuing years is guys making decisions about their body and their health far more frequently, like Andrew Luck, like Le'Veon Bell for his next contract. That's going to become more frequent because guys have more money to sit on. They don't need the contract right now. And there's more science and awareness about how bad it is for your body. John's next up in Houston, listening on 650 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, DA. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I'm a retired police officer, and I agree with you. He is totally unstable. He's self-destructive. And, I mean, I think there could be a situation where you got to be careful. You know, one day we may wake up and there'll be an attempted suicide by him or something along the lines. It's just very scary. And another thing, too, is maybe he doesn't have – he's using this whole ruse as a big distraction because he's a diminishing asset, and maybe he doesn't have the complete confidence in his ability that that he should. Anyway, thank you for taking my call. Happy weekend, my friend.
You got it, John. Back at you. I don't think he's that diminished based on his production last year. I mean, Antonio Brown, still at 30, 31 years old, is one of the greatest playmakers in the league. His feet are lightning fast. His route running is crisp. His hands are sticky. He is an incredible wide receiver. I wonder about what the cryogenic burn on his feet did, if perhaps that is really limiting how much he can run. Maybe he's in pain after a couple of routes, after a couple of plays. Maybe he knows he can't get through an entire game and he's embarrassed or shamed about that. But Even if he's limited, even if physically he feels like he can't do what he did 3 years ago, 5 years ago, Antonio Brown has a windfall of money that he finally got by being with the Raiders or going to a different team. And he is compromising that. He is risking all of that by his behavior. He is actively looking to fight physically the guy that is paying him all that money. And he didn't get it yet. Had he gotten all of this money and now he's trying to fight Mike Mayock, I would get it. He needs to be active for week number one. This is crazy stuff. More on AB from you guys on the phones next. Also, Adam Lefko, Bleacher Report from Gridiron Pod will come up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.